In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Mark, the 7th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, have you noticed that over the past 15 years, there has been a renewed interest by filmmakers in making or remaking some of the classic Marvel comics into movies? X-Men, The Incredible Hulk, Punisher, Thor, Captain America, Ghost Rider, The Avengers, Spider-Man, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Black Widow, and my favorite, Iron Man. Iron Man, I think, has to be one of the most interesting storylines concerning how a man became a superhero. You see, Tony Stark, who becomes Iron Man, is the owner of Stark Industries, a multi-billion dollar weapons manufacturer. And at the start of the movie, Tony is touring Afghanistan to see the testing of his latest weapon. When terrorists attack his Humvee and a missile explodes, Tony is hit with shrapnel that lodges deep into his chest and threatens to slowly move to puncture his heart. The only way to keep him from dying is to perform surgery and implant an electromagnet in his chest that will keep that shrapnel away from his heart. And of course, if you know the movie, that electromagnet is later used to power the Iron Man suit. The irony is, though, that the palladium core that powers the electromagnet planted deep in his chest is slowly poisoning him. So, the very thing keeping him alive is also the very thing that is killing him. In fact, the very thing that is in Tony's heart, if left alone, will inevitably kill him. I find this section of the movie interesting because to me, it is a cinematic depiction of our gospel reading from Mark, the 7th chapter, in some ways. For in Mark 7, Jesus says, "Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach and is expelled? What comes out of a person is what defiles him from within. Out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness." Jesus speaks these words to his disciples after a confrontation that he just had with the Pharisees over the disciples' behavior. Just 9 short verses earlier, in fact, in last week's gospel reading from Mark 7, we learn that Jesus' disciples sat down and ate their food without washing their hands, and the Pharisees, who had seen this, scolded and ridiculed, berated Jesus, saying, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" When Jesus responds to them in verse 15 of our gospel reading, he does so by saying, "Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." We find out in the next verse that the disciples, like the Pharisees, don't get it. They have no clue what Jesus is saying. In fact, no one does, because everyone in Mark 7, with the exception of Jesus, is so focused on the external sins of others that they don't see the real problem. And this is absolutely the case with the Pharisees. They are so focused on the disciples not washing their hands that they don't even see their own sin. that lurks deep in their lives and permeates it. They don't see their own breaking of the commandments of God. It is hard to see your own sin when you are so focused on the external sins of others. You and I, we know this struggle all too well. You find yourself disgusted because you heard about someone having an affair, having sex outside of marriage, or engaging in homosexuality, but you don't see the Sixth Commandment sins in your own heart as you stare at the person wearing revealing clothing, or when you flip the remote back or turn the page back, click that mouse to look at something you know you shouldn't. You are appalled by the news broadcast that showed yet another shooting in Fargo, the stabbing of a police officer at the Pentagon, or the latest case of domestic violence and abuse. But you don't see what goes on in your own heart when you get angry with and yell at your own children, spouse, friends, family members, and co-workers, and tell them they are worthless or lazy and call them names. You are revolted by dirty, mud-slinging ads and interviews of politicians, Republicans and Democrats, Democrats and Republicans, but you don't see what's going on in your own heart when you say how absolutely rotten and worthless these politicians and this government actually are. Or when you talk horribly about your spouse, co-worker, employee, boss, family member, or friend. You are dismayed that the Ten Commandments are no longer displayed in our public schools or even there as you enter into government buildings like they once were. Or you are dismayed that the pews at Holy Cross and Emmanuel are not as full as they once were. You know, when you always used to have to haul out chairs and line the aisles just so people could sit down. But you don't see what's going on in your own heart when you skip church on a Sunday morning because you have a sporting event or concert or play or hunting or fishing or farming, relaxing at the lake, or just are too busy. You know, the things you love more. Yes. It is hard to see your own sin. And it is easy, like the Pharisees, to focus on the external sins of others. And what's worse, the sin that dwells deep in our hearts is like the palladium that dwells in Iron Man's chest. It's killing us. Sin brings about death. The wages of sin is death. And there is nothing that you or I can do about it. Nothing inside of us that can possibly save us. Nothing inside of us that can purify us. Nothing inside of us that can purge us from that sin that dwells within. For it is from within, out of the heart of man, that comes evil thoughts. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. To be honest, it would take something that was completely outside of you for that. Something that was from without, not from within. God sees this. He knows this. And out of great love for you, from his heart, he has loved you with an everlasting love, showing you his pure, unadulterated mercy, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus, for you. And that Jesus willingly chose to come down into this world and to save sinners, of which you and I are first and foremost. And he did it not with gold or silver, but with the shedding of his holy, precious blood for you. He paid the price that the law demands for your sin and mine. He endured the evil that came from the hearts of men. Jesus was beaten. Jesus was mocked. Jesus was spit on. Jesus was crowned with thorns. He was abandoned by everyone, even his own father. He was nailed to the cross and left for death. How deep, how vast, how unfathomable the love of Jesus for you, that he willingly chose to suffer all things, even death upon a cross for you, so that you and I may have what we do not deserve, but what we need: mercy, forgiveness, everlasting life. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. Therefore we stand in awe and amazement of you. For you, O Lord, are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, yet abounding in steadfast love. For you, Lord Jesus, were delivered unto death for our sins, and you were raised for our justification. Create in us a clean heart, O God. We poor miserable sinners cry to you this day, and you have said to us, take heart. Your sins are forgiven. And I will give you a new heart, because it will set my spirit in your heart. The spirit that calls out, Abba, Father. The spirit that unites you to me. Or do you not know that all of you who were baptized are baptized into my death, Jesus says. And if you were united with me in a death like mine, you will be united with me in my resurrection. For I have come that you may have life, Jesus says, and have it abundantly. And so that you never have to wonder or doubt this, dear saints of the living God, Jesus has given you something external, outside of you, not from within, from without. A righteousness, God's righteousness, God's holiness, God's perfection and beauty. God's holiness that you can touch. God's righteousness that you can see. God's perfection that you can smell. God's purity that you can hear. Take, eat. Take, drink. Jesus is cleansing. Body and blood that you taste. And in tasting, know for certain that though your sins were as scarlet, now they are whiter than snow. Though they were red as crimson, now they are as white as wool. In Christ, God has given you a new heart, a clean heart, a purified heart, a heart cleansed from sin and death. There is this age-old adage that says, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And I suppose there is truth in that. But I will tell you this. The way to God's heart is through the cross. Only through Jesus' death and resurrection can you enter into God's presence, pure, holy, undefiled, to live forever with him in his kingdom that has no end. Amen.